to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Or you sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Is that your desire? I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen, amen, and amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians 5. Good to see some of them here that was in Alabama with us this past weekend and all. And I want to say that we really appreciate all that was done. You know, all of the work, all of the things. It turned out to be a beautiful, wonderful time, I think. You know, I think it made a good impact upon the people and everything. And it was good to be there and to witness, you know, the things. How that here everything was so disarrayed every time they tried to practice, even till Friday afternoon. They were so disarrayed till it was just, you know, you thought, oh man, it's going to be pitiful. But when it came right into the play, it just went right in and floated and everything, you know, and just done everything. And it worked real good. And we really, really are very, very proud of the people who put on the play, from the adults down to the children and the ones that wrote the play, the ones that done their parts and everything. We really appreciate you. We want to give you a great hand, all right? Because we really appreciate it. It was really good, you know, and so we're trying to get the video set up to where that we can see which one turned out, because Brother Joseph has already got one, you know, to where from Brother David Gadman's son, and maybe we can compare the two and see which will turn out better than it is. We'll try to get it all made up and everybody can see it and all like that. And so we appreciate that. It was really, really a great time. You know, glad to have Lisa's brother back there with us tonight. And he's been here before, so he's not a visitor. So because if you're a visitor, you get welcomed. But when you're not a visitor, you don't get welcomed. You're just one of us, you know. But we're glad to have him with us and everything. So we appreciate it. And all. I got a whole list of things to get out of the way, so all right, we'll do it all down the line. The Lord willing, this coming Sunday, and I had announced now that his name was Nestor, and come find out, Nestor's not coming. It's Cernon, you know, which is the way you pronounce it, C-E-R-N-O-N, Cernon, and I don't know the last names, I got them written down, but forget that. All right. He's going to be with us this coming weekend to preach for us from the Philippines. And he's a real good brother, really, really, you know, a well-established brother in the message. He had the church there at the Shangri-La big motel thing, hotel thing that was there. And he turned it over to Brother Vernon, and he went on to another work that he was working on and all there in the Philippines. So he'll be with us, the Lord willing, Sunday, preaching for us. Brother Richard Wilson will be here on Wednesday preaching for us. Brother Rocky, now I ain't going to try to pronounce his last name either. Brother Rocky from the Philippines will be with us on the 15th. So make sure you get your dates right. I get them all messed up. The 8th, Brother Cernon will be here. Brother Wilson on the 11th. Brother Rocky from the Philippines will be here with us on the 15th. And on the 22nd, Brother David Gadman, he's not from the Philippines. He's one of us here. You know, he'll be with us preaching And I'll remember the fellowship meeting will be on the on that weekend, you know, at Brother Tom Kershane's. And if you can, and all to go and everything, and all, but Wade and Richard and I will be gone on hunting for, we'll be back now for the Sunday. We're not going to be gone that. We'll be, it's gone the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday hunting. But now what we're going to do is on that Wednesday of that week, we're going to change our services to Tuesday night. So that will be 17th. That'd be 17th, because Sunday would be the 15th. Monday, yeah. On the 17th now, we will be having our service on Tuesday night. So make sure to tell everybody, because that way we can travel Wednesday, and Wade and him's got to work Wednesday morning, but we can travel at least late and be able to get there to start hunting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We will be back, the Lord willing, here for the services, you know, with Brother Gadman. So just remember that. Let's see. Yeah, one more. Is it all right with the church that if we give the, you know, we've been praying about the little boy that got hurt in the football game, you know, and Terrence said they have insurance, but they're taking up money to help, you know, do some things for the family and expenses for her, because it's a lot of expenses going backwards and forth and traveling and doing things and all. But is it all right if the church just gives about $1,000 to them, you know, to be able to where it would help on their expenses? Is that all right with everybody? Amen. So we're going to do that. Lisa, just give them a check for that and all. And we you know, we appreciate the Lord to be able to help us, and maybe we can help other people. So, all right, I think I've got everything out of the way. Have I missed anything? I generally do. First Saturday, this is Bible study. All right. So glad you called it that one. This coming Saturday will be Bible study, and this coming Sunday now we're going to have our communion and foot washing. And I really didn't work it out that way, but it worked out great because Brother Cernan was the one when I was there that we was able to take communion and foot washing at his church. So now, you know, he's going to be here. So the Lord willing, 6 o'clock this coming Saturday, we'll be here at the church as Bible study. All right, am I forgetting anything else? All right, so let's pray. Ephesians 5. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for you. Because we know without you, there would be no need of us being here tonight. There wouldn't be any need of us being anywhere or doing anything. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love for each and every one of us, that you loved us before we loved you. And Lord, we ask you now tonight as we read your word, that you would come and speak to our hearts, and that we may all, Lord, be what you want us to be. And Father, forgive our sins, because we know that we failed you continually. We ask you to bless and guide. Remember the sicknesses, remember different ones. Lord, knowing Sister Tatum is getting weaker and weaker, Lord, and we ask you to just touch her and be with her, Father, because we can't pray any other way than to pray for you to touch her. And Lord, talk to Brother Don. He's doing okay. So we ask you to just bless each one of these. And Lord, guide each one and lead us in thine understanding. Keep us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5. We're still on, or back on respect. Now, I hope the ones of you that missed this past Sunday afternoons, especially Sunday morning, I was still on kind of respect, you know, and kind of family talk, because that's what we're doing. We're just trying to talk instead of preach, just talk about the church and the doings and different things, you know, and what we need to be able to do. But now this past Sunday afternoon, I hope you listen to that tape, and I believe it will help you to understand about the resurrection, because, you know, where it says no divine healing, no resurrection. And I asked the question in the service like this. I said, how could Abraham prove he was going to get a child? He said, well, he believed it by faith. He believed it this way. He believed it that way. You know, it always concerned me about it, you know, because I like more concrete. I don't mean wrong now to walk by faith, but I still like to have something under my feet, you know. And the Lord showed to me there that Abraham could say, if you cut my hand, it'll grow back. If God can do that, if God can heal a cut on your hand, why would the people of this message want to preach that they're going to get them a new body? When Jesus rose in the same body, even with nail prints in his hands. Why? I don't understand that. See, and the Lord showed me that. Abraham could say, cut my hand, and it'll heal back up. Because he had the evidence back there that God was going to change him and Sarah. So I hope you'll listen to the message and do that. Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. All right. Everybody likes that one, see. All right. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without, blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery that I speak. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been talking about respect. And every time that I talk about it, I've given the definition. This is the fifth message on it, and probably maybe will be the end of it tonight. But we'll just wait and see, whatever. But the word respect, now, I've given you the definitions. I said every night, every service we preach. Respect is admiration, and listen to it, especially some of you that haven't heard the definition, and then you'll see what Paul is talking about over here. See, when he first started off, what did he say? Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, we're to have a godly fear, but not to be afraid of God. I've tried to express that each time. See? To have a godly fear is not to be afraid, but it's to respect. And the word respect is admiration for or a sense of the worth or excellence of a person. Means to regard, it means to honor. Right? Now I'll tell you something, looking up in the Bible and looking up in Brother Ram's message on the word honor, you may never run across it. They spell it two different ways. H-O-N-O-R, they'll use that. Then they use it H-O-N-O-U-R for honor. So if you're ever looking up something in Brother Ram's message and you're looking to honor, run it both ways because it'll do it. But now the Bible uses H-O-N-O-U-R. But we just kind of shortened it down, and Brother Branham actually used it because that's the way they wrote it down. But, you know, as the word honor. But see, respect is an admiration for the worth of something. In other words, you think about somebody in your life, a football coach or a teacher or someone, you know, that's very dear to you. And you think about how that they achieved the position they hold. You know, I mean, I honor and respect really greatly the President of the United States, even though I might not agree with him in his ways or whatever. But still, I want to give him honor and respect because he did come up through the ranks to where that he come out and he has due respect of that. And the prophet said, if you ever lose respect, and I gave you one in there where he said, if the Supreme Court says to do certain things, now, he's not talking about something contrary to our religious beliefs or something, you know, but if the Supreme Court rules on something, he said we are to respect that. We are to honor that. We are to regard that because they are the ones taking the Constitution and not trying to interpret it, but take that Constitution to give the answer to what the problems is, you know, of life, and we should respect it. We should respect one another. You know, the prophet of God, I covered one in there, respecting one another. Now, he said it like this. He said, if we don't respect one another, he said, we won't respect God. So there should be a high respect one for another, you know, especially in the members of the body of Jesus Christ, because that's what we're talking about, you know, to try to bring it to that. But, see, respect somebody for something. Don't be afraid of that. You know, you, as I told you, you in the military, you saluted that officer. Maybe you hated his guts because of what he's putting you through, but when it comes to time for the salute, you done the salute because you wasn't saluting the man, you're saluting the stripes that he had on his arm, and see, you were giving respect to that because somebody thought enough of him to put him in that position. All right. See, in that way, then respect goes along with the fact that's how you can respect God, but don't be afraid of him. Don't teach your children that God is a mean old man. Don't teach them that God hates you. No. Don't do it like that. Don't even tell them about the devil too much, because don't worry about it. They'll find out about it when you get big enough anyway. But see, everybody wants to scare people with some kind of a thing, and that's not right. But give respect. Give respect. We respect Brother Branham as bringing us the message. Give great honor and respect upon him, but not fear him. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, if I'd have went before Brother Branham, boy, I'd have prayed before I got there. Well, you ought to have done that before you go before anybody. What's the difference in God and Brother Branham or God and somebody else? But see, we say, well, I'd pray before I went. No, I would go before him. Sure, I'd say, now, God, forgive me. But I'd go before him. I'd say, Brother Branham, if there's anything in my life, tell me, and I'll try my best to get rid of it. I'd want to get rid of it, see. But I give great respect and honor, and that's the way you should be towards God. You should respect God, but don't be afraid of God. Because he's not a mean, hateful person, you know. Go back and show me through the Bible where he is, even in the Old Testament. Show me the great God that you think is back there. Brother Brown said, I used to think Jesus loved me and God hated me. He said, well, I found out it was a self-same person. Well, see, just don't scare nobody with something, because if you try to scare them with one thing, you know, and try to make them afraid of God, don't do it that way. Tell them to respect God for what he's done, for what he is. We covered the church, you know, respecting the church, respect the building. This is a very poor building for God to come and meet us in, but it's the best we've got. So respect it. Don't cut up. Don't make fun. Don't, you know, go around and laughing and running through the building and talking and all kinds. Don't do that. Respect the house of God. God will respect you. As we respect one another, he'll respect us for that. Even like the gifts, we covered one message. Respect the gifts. Respect Brother Branham as that, because he was in the, you know, he was a gift to us. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. See, Malachi 4. That was a gift to us. Respect that. Respect the fivefold ministry. Respect the deacons. Respect the elders. Respect the people in authority. See? Because that, the way we respect that is the way we respect God. The way we honor that. But see, don't do it with fear. I don't want anybody afraid of me. These kids know that I'm that away. When I'm out here, I'm just one of them. You know, just playing with them and having a good time. I don't want an image set up like a preacher. Boy, you be careful now. You come in the presence of the preacher. No, I don't want that. I want you to reverence the gift. Respect the gift. And do that, because that gives honor to where honor is due. See, then that's what we should be doing, and respecting one another, see? All right, respect for the house of God, respect for one another, respect for God's gifts. See, don't make fun of nobody. You see somebody do something wrong or something, and they claim the Holy Spirit done that, and you don't agree, but still don't make fun of them. I told you about the thing that I'd seen where they claimed to be in the Spirit, like on the day of Pentecost, and like they was drunk, and they were just sliding out in the seats, and just, oh, they were just floating down, just like It's like something was controlling them, and they'd just slide down and just laughing and go. But I said, God, don't let me make fun of that. I don't agree maybe with what they do, but don't let me make fun of it. Because you remember, that's what got the people in trouble when the she-bears come out and killed them. The parents didn't respect the gift of God in the prophet. Brother Brown said they should have went out there and said, I agree with you. But said instead of that, they went out and made fun of Elisha and said, go up, old bald head. Well, that's what mom and dad had called him. See, the reason that the children, and I'm talking here now, not over there, the reason the children don't respect the house of God is because mom and daddy don't respect the house of God. Mom and daddy does things in the house of God that they ought not do. Well, the children come right along, just act just like them. Mom and daddy don't raise their children for the glory of the Lord. Like I've always told you, everybody here, you know, I'm just playing because we're having a family talk. But see, you want to pet that baby, you want to pet that demon until that child gets about 16, and then you want me to pray one prayer, and everything's delivered. And then you go back out the door, you know, and I say, now, you shouldn't be doing that, you know. You should honor, not do that. Then they go out the door, honey, he shouldn't spoke to you like that. Well, that demon just come right back with twice as much power over that child. See, don't do it that way. Let everything be done decently, the Bible says, and in order. Respect God, and God will respect you. Honor God, he'll honor you. And do it that way, see? All right? Now tonight we want to kind of cover twofold, so I want to get just a little bit into it. But see, you children, you need to respect your parents. That's the way you respect God. Respect your parents. It tears me up to, and I know now, I got it wrote down here, never backtalk. Besides mom and daddy. I'm honest. I've never been mean, and the kids won't tell you how bad daddy is because they know how much I loved them, and I was soft as could be. Mama was a whole lot tougher, but they never sized us. Now, they wasn't allowed to do that. They would have probably got up somewhere and needed some patchwork done on their teeth. And I'm honest. I'm not mean. I'm honest. Because I wasn't raised that way. I was raised to respect my parents. I was raised to respect elders. And I can't help it. I still do it today. I've had a lot of people to get on to me, you know. I walk up to them and they'll say something I see. Yes, sir. That's right, sir. Hey, I'm younger than you are. Well, I didn't know that because I don't by age. I'm disrespecting you. You know. See? You walk like that, children. Like I've always tried to tell you. You go to school and the things of the world. And you go out there and you walk with honor and dignity. And you watch the people come and start respecting you. But you go out there and dress like them and you do like them and paint your face up and cut your hair off and everything. They don't have to respect you. You say, oh, I'm a Christian. That's the reason I don't do that. Man told me one time about a girlfriend he had. And he said, you want something to drink? She said, oh, no, I've got to go to church tomorrow. Well, it didn't matter what she'd done that night. It's what she did. She couldn't drink because she had to go to church the next day. Well, see, that's what people think. They didn't want to do something like that. But children, respect your parents. If nothing more, respect them for the fact that they've raised you. Don't be like this lady you'll see out there. Oh, you brought me into the world now. You brought me into the world, and that's up to you to take care of me. It ain't up to us to take care of a lazy bunch of shiftless, sorry kids. Mine wouldn't have got by with it. I done everything I could to help the kids, and they never had to. A lot of your kids work while they was there and all. And, you know, as kids, my kids didn't have to until they got on up to where that they were, and you know, able to drive and things. And then they got jobs and went to work a little bit and, you know, make them a little money. But see, respect your parents, children. The Bible says for you to respect your elders, people older than you are. Zachary went and tried out for a ball team. And the guy told him, said, If you don't say yes sir, no sir, you'll lap the field every time. Well, I said, how many times do you lap? He said, one, because that was enough. See, he says, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. Well, that's good. See, that's honor and respect to your elders. See? Hey, come on, kids. You know the way I am. That's what gets me is that everybody in the message wants the kids to just sit in a cubicle, you know. I love the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord. I can't do nothing. I'm in a cubicle, you know. No, children, you're children. You act like children. Ask Mom and Daddy about some of the things they done when they were children. You know what? See, I get to telling sometimes the things we done, and the kids will just, Daddy, I didn't do that. Well, it wasn't something mean and hateful and things like that. It was just jokes and doing this and doing that, you know, and all. See, the people of the message want their children not even to move. If they move, oh, that's the devil. You got a devil on you. Well, what do they have on them? And what do they still have on them? Respect. See, it's not fear. I was not afraid of my mother. My daddy died when I was five, and I really didn't know him. But I never feared my mother. I wasn't afraid of her, but I respected her. Until right before I got married, I was going to be late coming in home. I called her and told her. I respected that. Ryan, he's out with us and he's coming back in. He calls his parents. Well, that's a sissified. No, that's respect. One of these days you'll have children of your own and you'll be wondering where they're at. And you'll be crying your eyes out. And if they don't call you, you deserve it. Come on, that's why I talk plain. I know we family talk. See, you deserve for your kids to treat you like that because you didn't treat your parents in respect. Come on. I'm not talking just being rough to the kids. I'm just being plain to the kids. To be honest and sincere, love Mom and Daddy and respect them for what they've done to bring you into the world. You wouldn't have got here without them. You could at least respect that much. You know? And everything might not go according to what you want. But like I told you about it, you know, I told about it one time there in the series about Anna and us buying her our old $400 Toyota Corolla for her to drive to school. And she said, Daddy, I think we can afford better than this. I said, but how many of them kids over our school got a car? I said, don't most of them ride the bus? Yeah. I said, well, drive that until we'll get you something better. Well, she drove that for a year or so, and it run good, and that was all mechanically, and it got her to school and back. And then we bought her a Thunderbird. Yeah. Uh-huh. But you see, that's the best way to do, parents. Don't buy them a brand new car, because they're going to wreck it. 90% of the time, they're going to wreck it when the first year they're driving. Wait, and them drove a Volkswagen. They didn't drive the best in the world. But we tried to raise them correctly. See, to respect and to do. Hey, our kids come up. They come up with their halo with horns. Because as kids, our grandkids, it's the same thing. Because they're kids. Kids are going to be a kid. But kids, you don't have to be wrong to be a child or a kid. You can have a good time. You can have a good time in serving God. We haven't beat on you because like some of the people in the message, cause even their kids, because they play a ball game, they're going to die and go to hell, you know, and all kind of things. See? But you go back and check them and see where they came from. The ones that was over us, some of them, I remember them real well. Boy, they'd get on to you for playing a ball game. But we're going hunting. We're going to take off a couple of weeks in church and go hunting. Well, now, church, I never tried to live like that. Why? Because the kids around saw what I was living. And they know. But children, respect your parents. Say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Because you respect them, you'll find out God will respect you. You honor your father and mother, God will honor you. You be good to them because they're raising you, especially to where when they get older. You get on down in life and you get older and you lose your memory and problems. Like I told you, though, one time like this, kids, you write this down and think about it. When you're first born, you're looking up to your parents maybe. But after a while, you get to the place that you think that they don't even know what's going on. They're not out here. We're the one. And them kids, every one of you kids thinks the people's throwing off on you and laughing, making fun of you. But you get about 20, 21, 22 years old, you'll come find out they ain't laughing at you. Because they wasn't even thinking about you. Just be kids. Be kids in the gospel. That's why we encourage our children to go and to do. Take them out and they played. And we've encouraged it. Why? Because that they're the children of God just like we are the children of God. But learn respect. It's no problem to say yes or no, sir. You wait till you get out into the world out there and you go down to that first job that you're doing. Hey, Joe, I come in and get me a job. I want a job. I want to go on at 12 and off at 1 with 2 15-minute coffee breaks. That's about the way the world is, right? Come on, no. Go in and say, yes, sir. No, sir. They even put books out on tell you how to dress and how to act. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't have to be told how to dress, and you don't have to be told how to act when you get there. You girls especially, you think them boys don't look at you because you're not showing yourself like the others. Just remember, the man looks on you and lusts after you committed adultery with him. No matter where he's ever touched you or what. But I'll tell you what, you let trouble come and see where they run. They run straight to the ones that walk right and act right. You let something go wrong in school, they run straight to those. It's always been that way. I was a boy, I was back there. But I had respect for girls that were girls. They were girls in school that were nice girls. I had respect for them. I honored them for being what they were. And I didn't go out looking for me a little striptease girl, and things. And I was looking for a wife. I was looking for something that was nice. Boys, come on, you go out there and you get around with them things that's if they act bad with you, come on. They act bad with you, you better be careful. You're going to have trouble. But respect your mother and daddy's opinion and their thoughts. We say that joke about it, we're going to do it because I say so, because I'm the boss. Well, we have raised you. I never seen one of you that lacked anything. You might not have got everything, but how many of you has ever lacked anything? I can stand here and tell you some stories, all right, about the way I was raised. If you had a nickel in your pocket, you was blessed. You had a little lard bucket with what was left over from supper carried to school the next day for lunch, if you got to go to school. We were farmers, sharecroppers. Go in September and sign up. It'd be November before it ever even go to school. Then in January, February, we're right back out the rest of the year. Working. None of you have had to do things like that. You say, well, there's Brother Dale. He's telling us how hard it was. No, I'm trying to tell you, kids, you don't have the problems like that. But at least you can respect your mom and daddy because they didn't make you out like that. They didn't put you out like that having to work in the field when I was plowing a mule at 7 years old all day long. And it wasn't no plaything. Thank God that you don't have to do like we had to do. So you ought to give more respect and honor now more than ever. You ought to respect your mamas and your daddies for them giving you a living. And being there, see? But you go out and you disrespect things. You make fun of God or something like that. You're like the story of Elisha. See, then you blame the world for what's wrong with you. Don't blame nobody else for what's wrong with you. Blame your own self. Because you're the only one. You know, Abraham Lincoln proved that a poor boy could become president. You can be what you want to be, children. If you go out there in that world and you act like the rest, they don't have to respect. But you go out there in that world and you, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You be respectful. You do all of the things. Well, if I done that, the girls would think I was a sissy. No. They know who you are. But be respectable one to another. You claim to be Christians. Act like Christians. Don't be out there just like the rest of the world. See, it'll pay off later down the road that when you automatically live. You think mom and daddy's trying to make you live old fogey. You know. But one day you'll find out mom and daddy was trying their best to help you. To get you to act right and do right. Why? Because they were trying to help you. But no. But listen, church, I'm trying my best to get you and I to be Christians, and being Christians will take care of a lot of our problems. It'll take care of the mama and the daddy, the things, you know. It'll take care of it. To be Christians. And being Christian is all it's doing. It's asking you to be Christ-like. It's not asking you to be this or that. You're just being Christ-like. Kids are going to be kids. That's what's wrong. The parents is where the problems are at. Kids are going to be kids. We want you to be kids. I don't want you sitting somewhere. No. I want you to be a child. I want my grandkids to play and have a good time and do things. You know. Why? Because Brother Branham, see, people just raise Cain about Brother Branham, Miss Brother Branham. They don't read all of the message. Where Brother Branham carried his kids out there to Disney, what is it, Disney World or one out in California at that time. And he even says on our take your kids down there. Disneyland or whatever it was. He was telling them, you know, take your kids down there. Well, see, we only hear what a lot of the preachers tell us Brother Branham was. We don't see him as a human being that loved to life and talk and have a good time. You ever seen the home videos where he had his pistol out and swinging it around, you know, had that alligator by the tail and just dragging it around, you know? He was laughing and talking. All we can do is like a brother did the other day. Brother Branham said not to be doing any jesting. I know the quote. Don't be doing any jesting. I know the quote. I know he said that. But what about all the time? What about when he leaned up on the boy that come to get his daughter, and he leaned up on the side of the car with a shotgun laying across where he'd come in from squirrel hunting, said, "Where are you taking my daughter? What are y'all going to do? Scared that poor boy to death." You know. But then when he looked in the mirror at them back there, they was all just dying of laughing. See? It would have been nice to have been around Brother Random. I've talked to a lot of people that hunted with him and said Brother Random kept them laughing all the time. But what did he mean? Don't be jesting. There's times that you don't laugh. We went to pray for a lady years ago. This I'm illustrating what he's talking about. We went to pray for a lady years ago, and this certain sister, and I won't call her name, but she was there. And we really had to calm her down, had to call her down. because she was laughing and talking so much, loud, you know, and knowing, you know, we had to really get her to calm down before we could pray for the other lady. That's jesting. That's doing things wrong. Jesting is not just because you tell a little good, clean joke. I tell you what, you listen to Brother Branham sometime. You ever heard him tell about, the man told him, you harder to get to than a Turkish harem? Right? What is a Turkish harem? It's a man with a bunch of women. But Brother Brown used that as a joke. Not to make light or do nothing wrong with it. He was just making a statement. See, church, we can be children. We were children. You can be children. But then just don't go too far. Don't go too far with it. Be respectable. Now you got them in school, what? They got it down to where they can't even have but just a moment of silent prayer or something. You go to a ball game or something like that, they get them to say a prayer or even sing the national anthem, and you look around and the kids and things and adults are just standing there, a lot of them with their hats still on and stuff like that. I know what would have happened to one of my kids. They would have needed the hat on the head because it had the sore head. You say that's being arrogant, hateful, and mean. No, no. We're Americans. And they say stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank God for those who have given us the opportunity to be able to live a free life. I give respect and honor to those because they do that. See? But it's just got where now to the society, see, is just, you know, just everything they can get. You got four generations on Social Security. Because of the society. And you can take my word for this because you probably wouldn't believe it, but when they set aside the money for Social Security, I don't know which one of the presidents done it, but one of them back there set aside the money for Social Security, do you know that they put enough money in that fund to where every person that ever retired, they would have never had to put another dime in it because so much money was placed in that the interest off of it would have paid all of the benefits for everybody to retire. You know what it's doing now? You got one paying and about five drawing per one or something. That's why it's broke. That's why it's gone down. It wasn't meant for that. And if you're sick and need it, amen. You work for it. Sure, draw it. But not four generations on it. See? I mean, it's just went the whole thing. The whole country's gone. But you and I don't have to act like that. We can be Christians and live right and do right. Well, Brother Dale, you're drawing Social Security. Yes, sir. And I worked over about 40 years. And I'd still be working if it wasn't for that they did give me. But I paid it in. You know, there's nothing wrong with that side. See? But see, being Christians and living right. Doing what's right. Honorable. I'm glad to be an American. If you'd went to some of these other countries, and I've been very rarely to them, but if you'd been to some of these I've been to and seen that, just like I was thinking there a while ago, and I meant to say it, you children in school and everything and all this, you think mom and daddy so much against this, so much against that. Go check the other kids in school. You think your mom and daddy so mean and so hateful and so this, that, and the other. Go check the other kids in school. and come back and tell me I'm wrong. And find out if you don't have a whole lot better mom and daddy what the rest of them in school's got. Come on, come tell me. I'll be glad to get right back up here and say so-and-so told me that I was wrong. But you see, respect, admiration for something that's there of great worth. Respect one to another. Respect your parents. And watch God honor you. I always told you about it when Wade would be down hunting, even though he was backslid. He would come in camp, and Brother Collie was there. You know, here's all of these big fellas down there hunting with us. But he'd go up to Brother Collie and hug his neck. Hey, Brother Collie, how you doing? Good to see you, brother. We had a man said something about it. Most of the black people don't even know it. But we had a man say something about their sarcastic one time about it. I told Wade, I said, you better tell him that I'm out and it's done. Because I ain't putting up with it. Well, he got the word. He come back. He said, I'm not talking about them black people that comes down with Sam and them. Said, they're fine black people. He said, I'm talking about them others, you know, like that. He said, they're fine people that come down there hunting, you know. And this was just a worldly man, you know. But he knew I meant it. He knew I wasn't going to take none of it. Wasn't going to take nothing off of him and his mouth that way. I just didn't have to fool with him. I just leave him. Wouldn't argue with him. I just leave him alone. But he said, that's not them. I said, no, I'm talking about these others out here. Well, that's his business, whatever he thinks. But see, church, respect. You respect other people and watch them respect you. But if you disrespect other people, what are you going to get? You want somebody to respect you? Respect them. You want somebody to like you? Like them. You want somebody to help you? Help them. And even help them when they won't even help you. Be nice about it. And God will honor you, children. Because we're to respect one another that way. Because I gave you the quote where Brother Brown said, if we won't respect one another, then we won't respect God. Oh, no, that's wrong, Brother Dale. I respect God. I respect him highly. No, you're scared of him. You don't have no respect. You respect, you can only respect God by respecting the people of God. We're brothers and sisters. We're in the body of Christ. That's what Paul was explaining. We respect others because why? Because Christ is in those people. See, then what are we doing? See, Paul is talking about a man and a wife. Now, let's get down on that part for a minute. All you kids can go to sleep. We're going to get on to mom and daddy's as husband and wife. Because we're family talk. You know that how that you treat your wife is how you treat God. So you don't find, well, Brother Brown didn't say that. Brother Brown said how the women treated the man. Well, Paul covers both sides. Paul covers both sides. See, we should look at husband or wife as look at them as not just husband and wife. My wife is my sister in the gospel. She's my sister. She's not just say, that's my wife. She's my sister. How much do you want a Brother Branham where he talks about the things? Now, a lot of you brothers here, your wife is not with you, maybe some of you. But whose fault is it sometime? I know in the message all they preach about is women's dog meat, you know. And men are T-bone steaks, you know. Women are dog meat. Now, I don't preach like that. Because I don't look at it like that. I look at brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't look at you sisters as being something. We know what the Bible says about it. I know what it is about it. But in the body of Christ, there is neither male nor female. Brothers, you don't do it because I've tried to get you not to. But I've seen a lot of brothers say, my wife's not under subjection to me, Brother Dale. Well, if I'd have been her, I probably wouldn't either. Honest. Respect is something that is earned. If you ain't caught nothing out of what I've been talking about, respect is something that is earned. You look at somebody because of respect. Brother Brown said, bring your home together under the token. You say, but my wife's not under subjection. Maybe it's because you're not under subjection. Paul in Corinthians covers that what? That the head is Christ. He's the head of all things. The head of the man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. But Brother Brown said, how you treat that husband of yours is how you treat Christ. Now what about it, sisters? Abraham, Sarah called him Lord. And Brother Branham, I got it. It's in there, I'm pretty sure. He said, now that's little L-O-R-D. Because she wasn't calling him Lord like her superior God or whatever. She was calling him the respect of Lord because that was just a way of saying it, Lord. How about it, sisters? Well, my husband, he gets to acting like Abraham. I'll act like Sarah. Now, where's that in the Bible? That may be a good saying, but where's that in the Bible? In the Bible, in Brother Brown's message, you'll find one way of doing something. You do it first. It's not waiting until your husband straightens up or waiting until a wife straightens up and you start straightening up. No, it's you straighten up first. What about the lady that the man come in and said, I'll prove to you that my wife is a Christian. He was very proud of that. He had tried that and tried, you know, before. He knew what she'd do. Oh, they ain't no Christians. He said, come home with me. They went home and was acting like they're drunk. You know the story. Told his wife, get up here and cook me something to eat. She cooked him some eggs and something like that. He took it and threw it to the floor. You know I don't like my eggs like that. Stormed out. I wonder what you sisters would do. But what'd she do? She was down getting up and off the floor, you know, singing, must Jesus bear the cross alone? You know what it done? It converted all those men. The way she done was a conversion factor in all those men's lives. She even said, honey, I'm sorry, I'll fix you some more. Oh, in the days of the women's lib. She was scared of him, the reason she was acting like that. Brother Rand said it's because she was a Christian. But what it is, you know, what's the thing? I've laughed like everything because that's one thing my wife can tell you and this church can tell you. You find one time that I've used this pulpit against my wife or against any of the women in that respect because I don't do that. But you go to most of these places and you sit down for a little while and you can find out what the man and his wife was fussing about if you'll just listen to the sermon. You'll find out they had a fuss on the way to church. If you'll listen long enough, you can just about tell them what they're fussing about. Because they can't stand it. They got to bring it up, try to make somebody under subjection. Subjection is not fear. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Subjection to God is not to be afraid of God. It's to honor and respect Him for what He is. Sisters, that husband is your head. The prophet said, you won't have to answer for him, but he'll have to answer for you. There's a lot of things Brother Brown said that's hard to swallow. But if you claim to be a Christian, my wife knows this statement to be true. If she ever told me, said, I don't want to live with you no more, she knows that's the end of all things. Because that'd be her choice. I'd still love her, but that'd be her choice. But see, then she ain't going to threaten me. Now, any of you women threaten your husband with a divorce because of or something like that, or separation, or withdraw yourself from it, we'll go through the family talk of the Bible. You do that, you ain't fit to be a wife. You were to crawl on your knees and ask that husband to forgive. But you men, if you use your wife like a dirty dog, you ain't nothing but a dirty dog. Well, she ain't under subjection to me. Maybe it's because she doesn't have anything to honor or respect. Maybe you're going at it in the wrong direction. See, church, we're just family talking. You can read a lot of things Brother Brown said, but family talking about it. Honor that husband. Honor that wife. As your sister. I could get into a lot of things about what Brother Brown said when I started studying on some of this. Don't be disrespectful. Don't treat that woman wrong just because you're the head of the house. Be respectable as your sister. And Brother Brown said, as the weaker vessel. Me and my wife get along wonderful, but we have our problems. But we work them out. But we don't work them out screaming and hollering at each other. We ain't going to work no problems out. It's when both of you realize you're wrong. Did you hear me? I said both of you realize you're wrong, because if my wife is screaming at me and I'm screaming back, I'm just as wrong as she is. It's not who's right, it's who's trying to serve God. But I don't believe in being a sissified husband either, you know. Oh, yes, honey, yes, dear. I got a lot of quotes from Brother Branham if you wanted on it. He said, you ain't a man when it comes to stuff like that. And children, I'm like this. We go places. And sometimes the kids come out dressed wrong. And sometimes the parents come out dressed wrong. It's like I've always told you husbands. Maybe some of you need to take you a napkin and rub across that woman's face and see if something comes off of there other than skin. It don't make no difference. I've told you, I'm honest and try to be honest and straight. You got a birthmark. There's nothing wrong. I'm just honest. Now, I can't prove this from Brother Branham. This is Brother Dale. But if you got a birthmark on your face and you took a little something and put on that birthmark to cover it up, I wouldn't say one word. I wouldn't say what's right or wrong. I just wouldn't say nothing. But you paint up your face is not in what you expect your children to do. Hey, they know what you're doing. But we ought to live as husband and wife like brother and sister. I respect my wife, not because I'm afraid of her, but because I respect her for what she's done. She's been my wife 48 years now. And I gave you a quote there where Brother Ram said, don't you act dirty and do things wrong and all just because maybe that she's 60 years old or something. Brother Ram said that was what was wrong with, who was it back there? He said where they was wrong at. It's on the front of the newspaper where the man had divorced his wife, got him another one. He said, they get into that change of life and things like that, and things starts going wrong. He said, respect them. Their bodies is going through a great change. Respect them. Honor them. Why? Because you've lived together all your life as husband and wife. But respect one for another. then you see, sisters, don't expect that husband to be a husband if you can't be a wife. To love and respect and cherish. But to live together in Christ. To try to make a home together in Christ. Not to be fussing and arguing. Remember, your children are listening. Maybe you ought to do like a fellow told me one time that this preacher went to this people's house. So they went to bed that night and they got a little cold, and the old preacher, he got up and went into the fireplace and chucking up the fire, you know. Well, when he did, about that time he heard this lady's voice behind him, and woman grabbed him by the hair of the head, said, "That preacher's gone to bed now, we'll settle this." Yeah. She happened to get a hold of the preacher. Just remember, that's not a joke. Just remember, God sees all things. God knows why I say something. And He knows why you say something. But see, that's your sister. That's your brother. I can't stand it. It's like a man down at work used to keep saying, "My old lady, my old lady." One day I just stopped him. I said, "How old's your wife?" He told me like 30 or something like that. I said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 32. I said, "Why are you calling your wife an old lady? You older than she is." Because I just couldn't stand it. I don't like that. My old lady. Now, baby, getting on some toes, though. All right. We're family talking. If you think it ain't right, go check it out with the Bible and what the prophet had to say about it. It's love and respect one to another. I told you, me and my wife never go to sleep at night. Do we tell each other, say, "I love you"? Man, I went to sleep with many a night so mad I couldn't stand it. Until I really couldn't even go to sleep. He said, "Brother Dale, now, I'm just honest. But I'll reach over and tell her, I love you." Hey, you go talk to my wife. We don't have knockdown drag outs. We don't have problems like that. But we're human. We have our problems. But we talk out our problems. We get rid of our problems. Nobody knows the problems. Yeah. But being a husband and wife is what Paul said. I speak to you concerning Christ and the church. Remember, sisters, how you treat that husband is how you treat Christ. But now remember, brothers, how you treat that wife is how you treat Christ. See, that's not preached on most of the time. Most of the time, it's only preached on to the women. I call that phrase, "Is your wife worthy of the gospel?" Because that's what most preachers preach on. Get the women lined up. We'll be ready for the rapture. I have less problems most of the time with the women around here than I do with the men when I get to raking down coals. Because most of the time, the women that come to me and say, "Brother Dale, you're right, I'm sorry, I was wrong." Men just walk over. "He wasn't talking about me. He was talking about Dick over." Dick gets straightened up, we'll be all right. Yeah. But listen, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. You should treat that wife like your sister. And I ain't talking about your natural sister. I'm talking about your spiritual sister. And sisters, you should treat that husband like your brother, like he's your brother in Christ. He's Christ to you. That's easy for the preachers to preach about the man, ain't it? But when you say that the woman is Christ to you, you mean I don't have to treat my wife right? Nah, she ain't nothing but dog meat. Well, you know what I've got? This one saying for that. And you might not like it, but that ain't a Christian. That ain't a Christian. Christians don't act like that. Christians respect one another. Love one another. Respect one another. What do we expect our kids to do when we can't have respect one for the other? How do we expect them to act? But how do we have respect? You know, and I don't mean this wrong, I'm just saying, I'm just plain talk. It's easy to say, if my wife was here, I would love her now. That's easy to say. I'm talking about like a divorce or something. They go out the other way. Of course, every one of you that's ever had a divorce problem, it was always the other person's fault. Man, I didn't get no amen. It's always the other person's fault, wasn't it? Might not have been. Might have been yours. To honor and respect and love one another, as Paul said, I'm talking about Christ and the church. Brothers, help your wives, especially now you brothers that your wives are working. Your wife's out working every day a job. Help her around the house. My wife used to cut the grass. She used to do everything in the world to try to get it off of me back when she, you know, could do it. She done all of it. She cut the grass. She painted the house. She done everything. Of course, one time she painted 2 gallons of paint and sprayed it on the building and all over the house and all that, but she done the work. But listen. Help one another. Oh, that's sissy, Brother Dale. Like women got their job. Well, you put her to work. You sure like the paycheck she brings in. But now I'm not silly or stupid either. I'm not talking about this husband, you do everything. No. Mm-mm. That's what I said. I helped my wife. I helped my wife as much as I could when I was working. A full-time job and everything. I still helped her as much as I could in the house. Why? Not because that I had to, but because I wanted to. Because I loved her and respected her for my wife, and I'd help her do. She used to have real bad headaches. Kids always knowed it. 3 times a day, they got eggs and toast and bacon. But I did get them a meal because I couldn't cook much else. But I did help them out doing that, and I helped her do it. But how do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? Do you think about that as being Christ? Now listen, children, we'll get back on you. What are you looking for as a husband? I was listening to Brother Branham the other day. I got it in the truck. I think it's a Hebrew series. I listened to it a lot because it's in the truck. He's talking about the time that he spoke to this little girl about because she was going out with a boy that was not treating her right and doing it. He said, honey, he said, he's not treating you right. He said, he's against your religious belief and said, you're going to go wrong. And said, you shouldn't do that. He said, why do you, with all the good Christian brothers here, said, why do you, put up with him? What's the front? She said, oh, he's got the prettiest little feet and said he smells so good. Now, you say, Brother Branham, he said, I'd rather put up with a boy that had feet like boxcars or something, some kind of coal or something, all rough feet and smelt like a polecat as long as he's a Christian. What I've always said about son-in-law. Oh, everybody knows what you said about that. And I didn't care where he's knock-kneed, bow-legged, and ugly as mud, as long as he's a Christian. That's what you got. But listen, what's wrong with helping one another? Well, that ain't my job. Well, it ain't her job to go to work for you and make a living where you can goof off either. Yeah, that's what I've always tried to get. It's just to be a husband and my wife to be a wife. Just try to be for each other, but treat each other like Christians. I never had that idea in my mind. You can say, oh, yeah, you was it. No, no. When we come in this message, I never had no different idea about a woman than I've got today. I saw and respected my wife before I come in the message. She was my wife. She was part of me. I know. She'll tell you in a hurry that a lot of times I don't introduce her and all like that, you know, because it's just human. I just forget. But see, just being Christians, loving one another, but understanding that the wife is the weaker vessel and sometimes gets caught. Brother Branham said it, and the Bible says it. The woman's 1,000 times easier to be deceived than a man. Now, he said that. But see, you can beat that to death. You can hammer that in the ground. There's plenty of women that's a whole lot more educated than I am. You're not talking about something like that. Until it was even taught, women don't go to school, don't do this, you know, kids don't go, don't do that. What do you want? A bunch of heathen that know nothing? You can't live in this society today without an education. Brother Ram never took his kids out of school. I'll tell you one to explain to me, because I said this over and people don't like me because I call it out. Billy Paul went to Bible school. That's where he met Brother Perry Green. Now the prophet's son went to Bible school, and it wasn't Brother Branham's Bible school. Brother Branham's kids finished school. But see, we was taught in our day not even let your kids go to school. But you see, it's totally, you just quote what you want to from Brother Branham. But what did he say about it, sisters? Like where I gave it to you in Conduct, Order, and Doctrine there, where he said, the lady was asking the question about it, he said, just be salty. You know what salt does? It creates thirst, right? And the Bible says you're the salt of the earth. Is that the Bible? Just be real salty around somebody. Be real salty. You can win by love more than you can strive by fear. You can break a horse by beating it to death until it'll finally come and lay its head on your shoulder because you've beaten it so much. Because you break what you call its spirit. But who wants that? So you can love an animal until an animal will come to you. What are we trying to do? What are we trying to be? Let's just be real salty. Work together. You sisters know for sure one thing. Now, you can't say anything about me about that because you know I don't preach like the other preachers. I'm not a, what do you call it, feminist? What is the word for it? Where you're, you know, no. But I'm not masculist either. I believe in being a Christian. Maybe that might not be the way, and that'd be hard to interpret somebody if they hear that. But what I mean is, I mean in being a Christian for the husband and a Christian for the wife and letting Christ be the one that settles all of our problems. And to love one another and have a good time in the Lord and fellowship together. Man, in this message, you used to tell me, say, Brother Dale, you're henpecked because your wife runs everything. I said, well, the world says, you know, I don't agree with you, but the world says, as long as you don't know something, you're all right. I said, so if I don't ever know it, I'm all right. But see, when it comes to time to go somewhere, I went over and told Peggy, hey, we're going to eat. You know what he done? He went and asked his wife, could they go eat? So I just laugh when people tell me things. Yeah. My wife pays all the bills, does all the checking, because I don't want to do it. If I done it, we wouldn't have nothing. Thank God for that. Yeah. I told her that's what I married her for a bookkeeper. Her maiden name was Cash. Never seen a cash yet it didn't have money. Ain't no joke, her family. But you see, she takes off of me the things that I don't have to do. And I honor her and respect her for that. But see, it's just like pastoring the church and doing the things here. I pastor the church, I respect you. But I also ask you to respect me and my ways of doing things. You may not agree with it, but you could respect it and say, well, we've seen it work. Don't understand? My wife even told us, honey, I don't understand you at all. I said, well, I don't understand myself a lot of times. But I said, you watch it and see if it works. See if it works out. He'll come back and tell you in a hurry. He said, well, I might not agree with what he said and what he done, but the Lord comes and backs it up. Because, see, that's respect one to another. Church loses respect. Brother Branham, I gave you a quote. He said, it's the end of the pastor if a church loses respect for the pastor. He said, that's the end of the pastor. Because it's all in the family. See? Paul wasn't just beating on the women and beating on the men. Now listen to what I'm saying and listen honestly. If he had been doing this, which he had to do in the book of Corinthians, he had to explain to the Corinthians in detail, because that's what it means, correction, the book of correction. He had to explain the gifts. He had to explain husband and wife. He had to explain all the things to the Corinthians. But this is the church at Ephesus where I read. And Brother Brown said they had the gifts in order, had all the things. So he's just not talking about a man and his wife. He said, I'm talking about Christ in the church. This is to people who had the faith of the fathers that he was talking to. If you want my word for it, because that's what your prophet had to say. He said he didn't have any trouble with the church at Ephesus because they were just a handful. But he said they had the word. Well, what's he doing talking to them about husband and wife, love one another? He was explaining Christ in the church. As we treat each other is how we treat Christ. Look at that other person like that and you'll feel a little bit different. Husband, wife, love one another. Brother Brown said, take that little woman. He said, especially, he's talking about when you get older, things like her. He said, take her and hold her and say, I love you. You know, it's hard to get mad at somebody and they tell you you love them. You ever tried it? You ever tried to get mad at somebody who was telling you they told you they loved you? You ever tried to get mad at them? It just don't work too good. Now, if they're fussing and arguing with you and screaming and hollering, it's easy to get mad. But if somebody says, I love you, it just kills everything, doesn't it? But you see, that's the way it is with God. He comes down and he loves us and he takes us and he holds us. He feeds us, he clothes us, he gives us everything. And how do we act? Now I'm going to just say this few words and end it up because, Brother Branham, I'll be glad to give you the sum in what I gave you, but I'll be glad to give you some more where it covers things like this. He said a church that's not respecting the pastor and respecting one another, he said it's a denomination. I'm paraphrasing that in my own language because that's what he's talking about. And he said, that's why the denominations are wrong. He's not against the people. He's against the denominational system. The system of those churches is what's wrong, not the people. The people are good people. But the system, the what's telling them. And see, if Christ is your head, I thought the Word was the head. So whatever the Bible says is the head of all things. Right? And see, then if you're running around with somebody else, flirting with some other man or woman, either way that it's covered, what is that in the spiritual? It's playing around with these ideas and things that are contrary to the Word. And see, then when we do, we get in trouble and God doesn't respect us. As I respect His Word, that's how He respects me. As I respect the gifts of God that are written in the Word and told about, that's how He respects me. Brother Dick and I were talking today about what would you ask Brother Branham if you were allowed, say, if some way he could just come right back in front of you, what would be what you would ask him? I told Brother Dick, I said, I wouldn't ask him what the seals were. I've preached it. I wouldn't ask him about one God to explain it, because I've preached it. I wouldn't ask him about marriage and divorce and things, because I've preached it. It's in the message. See, what I would ask him is, Brother Branham, what's wrong with me as a human mortal? Not what have I preached wrong, or what do I need to know about the thunders, or what is the new name, or something. See, that's what most people would ask. And I wouldn't. I would say, Brother Branham, show me where I've been wrong in my own life. Because if my life is right, Christ is there. He's my head. What do we treat one another? Well, my wife ain't a Christian. Maybe the reason she ain't a Christian is because maybe you hadn't lived before her. Now, this is not to just Brother David that's here tonight, because he's the only one that's here, I guess, with that. And I'm just honest. See, I like to talk like that, and then everybody don't. Well, no. I'm talking about everybody in the church. What does Christ mean to you? I don't have anything else. This Word is my God. Because He's in letter form. And what He says, I don't have to, like I said, I wouldn't want to ask Brother Branham questions like a lot of people would. I would ask him personal things of my own life. You know, where did I miss it, and what do I need to be, maybe? I wouldn't ask him about the doctrines. Because the message is the doctrines it already brought. See, church, I want to be what God wants me to be. When I failed in all of it, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good grandfather. I want to be a good pastor. Why? Not just because it, don't fear God in the basis that you serve Him just where He will keep you from going to hell. Serve Him because you love Him. Changes a lot of things. Be a good wife because you love your husband. Changes a lot of things. Be a good husband because you love your wife. Changes a lot of things. Children, be good children because your mom and daddy, they've tried to help you, lead you. You think they're dotty old something that don't know what they're talking about. But one of these days, you'll know. But you know what? It's always too late. It's always too late when you find out something. So I'm just trying to tell you ahead of time. The final quote, the prophet said, we respect one another, and that's how we respect God. We love one another. I gave you a lot of quotes in there about love. Love one another. Love is blind. You know, my wife thinks I'm pretty. Love is blind. Love causes a multitude of sin. See, I just want to get to the basis, and you understand me. I want to love my wife as I love God. But now that don't carry that too far, all right? I know the difference. But I want my love for my wife to change from filio to agapo. Well, I can do that as long as I look at her as a Christian. Now, if I look at her as a woman, I can't do it. Because I never can get off of filio. Do you understand? I want to love my wife as my sister in the gospel. The one that understands me better than you do. She knows me better than you do. See, I want that to be to where our fellowship, come on, brother boy. I want our fellowship to be a Christian fellowship. I'm human. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all do wrong. I don't go along with all of this business. You see a lot of people, you know, my loving, darling little wife, and I just love my wife. She is the greatest. She's this. Now, I'm sorry. When I hear that, I begin to think about what's the problem. Do you think, boy, that man loves his wife so much? So he just, I think, what's the problem? Why is he always trying to brag on her? When you see me and you see my clothes and you see my doings and everything, because it wouldn't matter to me if I had on green socks and blue pants and yellow shirt, wouldn't make a bit of difference to me because I'd just be human. But you see me and the way I do and everything, that's my wife. She's the one that gets all the honor for all of that. See, because it's respect that I give to her, because I love her. That's the way we should feel with one another, as brothers and sisters. Danny and I have known each other a long time. We've always been good brothers together. See, now he's my brother in the Lord. There was a time, now I believe Danny, I don't believe he would have done it because he and I were brothers, but there was a time that I might have said something to Danny that would have, he might not have liked it, and he might have told me about it. But see, now I could just about say anything to him, and he said, well, Brother Dale, I love you. But see, then to think that I'd go do that. Wasn't that what Brother Brown said about it? He said, if I went overseas and a woman come running up to me and grabbed me and I done wrong, he said, I believe my wife would forgive me when I come home. But he said, how could I do something like that, knowing she would forgive me? See, change is totally around. It's not a book of rules. It's a love for one another and a love for God. Act like that. Treat each other like that. Respect each other that way. But then that way you can look over what the problem is. Don Ginn was one years ago that everybody thought he was out of the message and gone. But my wife will tell you, I told her, I said, he'll come back. But see, I look down past my eyesight. See, I want to look at Christ in you. That way I can be right. Come on, let's stand. Go ahead. 119 in the red book. If anybody has a need, the altar's open. Sure. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. What is it? This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Wait for the Dean. Terrence, Danny, come on. A lot of you know that Anna and Richard lost a baby not too long ago. And we had prayed and believed. But we also found out there was some things wrong in the body, that the Rh factor, that was a lot of problems. And you know. But see, we believed then, but it was in God's hands, and He done the way He wanted it done. And we don't question Him. We just believe. But see, now today, Anna went and got tested, and they done all of it. And she's somewhere around 6 weeks. Maybe they don't know exactly. So let's believe everything's going to be all right. All right? Let's believe and just commit it to God and just say, thank you, Lord. Because they want a child. And we want God to have His way in all that we do or say and everything. So let's just all pray together, and you pray. And just remember, we're asking Him to fulfill His word. And for some reason, there was a problem there, and it didn't work out, you know. But we don't worry about that. Because we know who can take care of all things. So let's just lay hands upon them and believe and pray and just commit it to the Lord, all right? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, You said call for the elders of the sick, lay hands upon them, and just commit everything into Your hands. And Father, we pray that everything would be all right with Anna and this child, and they can have a child for Your honor and glory and raise it for Your glory. Lord, we believe You. We don't question You about anything. We just believe You. And we commit it all into Your hands now, believing that You'll take care of all things. And Lord, how it was back there with Samuel's mother that said, I want a child, and I'll give him to You. Many, many others through there, that they wanted a child, and You gave it. And Lord, we thank You that You've given this child, and now make everything to be healthy and all is well. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank You. We believe You. Just believe it and see. Believe and see. Anybody else that have a need? Story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Let's believe it, all right? Father, You know our brother has a physical need in his body. But we believe Your word that says, by Your stripes, our brother is healed. We believe it. We thank You for Your word. And thank You for making it manifest. And Lord Jesus, we just lay hands on it to our brother to show that we believe You. And Father, we thank You. We've seen our brother come through so many things. We're just expecting one more. because that's your word. We believe you. Thank you, Father. And we love you in Jesus' name. Just as the quarter. Just as the quarter. All the day long. Anybody else that just have a need?
My grandma, operation all along. It's not being 76.
Our brother wants a prayer cloth for his grandmother, you know. Things are wrong, and you know, she's got an operation and things, and let's just believe it and thank God for it, all right? Father, we send this prayer cloth for this one, Lord, knowing that by your stripes she's healed, and we thank you. All we're doing here is just agreeing that you are God and you change not. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song. What? That He's Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He ever done it once, He'll do it again. He ever saved, He'll save again. If he ever deliver, he'll deliver again. But it's what you got to believe. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we just commit everything into your hands, believing that, Lord, you would be with us. And I pray that what I've said tonight is not to be arrogant or hateful, but to just family talk to one another, that we may see where we're failing to love you, Lord. Because how can I love, as your word says, you that I have not seen, when I can't love my brother that I have seen? Lord, just give us that ability to love. Bless and guide. Bless everybody on the way home. Lord, just let your grace be sufficient to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Yes, sir.